You've got something to hide, but don't want it hidden for too long. This is Nightfall. Friends. Frederick Hend, counselor in tonight's post-nuptial squabbles. Are you getting along with your spouse? Are you certain of fidelity? I hope so. Because tonight's story might give you some very negative ideas. It's called The Cruel Husband and was specially adapted for Nightfall by David Lester from the Balzac story. It's a tale about love and jealousy and fear and revenge, and one in which a lot of people get hurt. Listen.
Taking our customary after-dinner stroll along the banks of the Loire. How could I have failed to feel the presence of evil and misery looming up ahead of us? In any event, suddenly there it was on our right, La Grande Bretèche.
What is that ruin?
Never mind.
Enyo, don't try to put me off. I'm a medical student and I'm fascinated by corpses. You can see this was once a magnificent estate. Nothing but weeds in front. All the doors and windows look boarded up.
Bianchon, come back.
There's something.
You're trespassing. I know the terms of the late owner's will, and it's strictly forbidden for anyone to enter those grounds.
Oh, so you do know something, Lenio.
I know everything. And I wish I knew nothing.
What is it, Lenio?
Uncovering the secrets of La Grande Bretèche destroyed my own hopes for happiness. At least I can spare you.
Renio, I want to hear these
secrets. Don't ask me anything.
I confided in you some of my adventures.
No. This doesn't concern an adolescent's love affair.
Come on.
No, I refuse.
Come on, let's have it.
Nor is this a mystery meant to provide diversion for a bored student stuck in the provinces. It concerns sin and crime and vengeance.
All the better. I'm an advanced thinker. Nothing shocks me.
Even how we human beings treat one another.
Ah, that still shocks me. It's turning chilly. It was as if a cloak of ice had been put on my shoulders. Tell me your hideous mystery as we walk back toward town.
If it can't be avoided, very well.
To La Grande Bretèche nearly 5 years ago to the day when the Dame la Comtesse de Marais, her husband, the Comte, had died in Paris 2 months previously after having indulged, so they say, in the most disgusting excesses. I arrived at the house around 11 o'clock.
Monsieur Renaud?
Yes.
Come in. I'm Rosalie, the Countess's maid. You're late. Madame la Comtesse has been expecting you.
Don't take that tone with me. It was the rainstorm. The roads are muddy.
I'm sorry, monsieur. This way.
My gosh.
This way, please.
Excuse me, Rosalie. Can you explain this? No furniture, no hangings, no carpets. It's devilishly cold and damp.
It was the Comtesse's wish, monsieur. Please, come this way.
What was her wish?
You have everything removed, then...
Yes?
Burn, and the ashes scattered.
Why? Disease?
No, no. Please, this way.
Ah, that light's either...
Shh. This is the Comtesse's bedroom, monsieur. I must tell you that she received the last rites from the curé during the day, and that she's unlikely to survive the night.
Madame la Comtesse? My name is Ragnot.
I have been waiting for you very impatiently.
God, you're so...
Don't speak.
What's wrong with her? What ailment?
No ailment, monsieur.
But don't be ridiculous. I've never seen a human being so thin and yet still breathing. She's no more than a ghost.
I know. I know, monsieur.
I can't stay in the same room with such a creature. It's too horrible.
I have stayed by her side for months. You can stay here for a few minutes. Have courage.
How dare you instruct me? Who are you, a specialist in medical and legal affairs or a housemaid?
I'm sorry, monsieur, but events here have made me forget so many things about the world. You're quite right to chastise me. I'll show you to the front
room. Rosalie, wait.
Yes, monsieur?
You make me ashamed of myself. Madame la Comtesse, I'm at your service.
These are the last words I speak on earth. I entrust my will to you. Rosalie, my crucifix.
Yes, madame. Her last moment approached. I pray that no other human being will ever suffer as she did, monsieur.
You must tell me the history of this suffering.
No, monsieur, no! I am leaving for a foreign country tomorrow, and I will take the secrets of La Grande Bretèche with me. I made a vow.
Rosalie, please. I want to know.
Oh, you have kind eyes. I like you. Perhaps...
Go on, Rosalie.
No, monsieur, I have nothing to say to you.
That house really so extraordinary?
It was more extraordinary than I can express to you. Au bien, Jean.
All right, old man, I believe you. What were the provisions of the will?
She ordered me to leave that house for 50 years in the same state in which it was found at the time of her death. She forbade anyone at all to enter the rooms. She did not allow the slightest repairs to be made.
You can't be serious.
More than that. She even earmarked money for guards to keep trespassers out of the grounds if necessary. After 50 years, the house is to belong to my heirs. But since that night, after Rosalie and I left, not a human being has set foot within those walls.
But you must have made some conjectures about the arrangements contained in this strange will.
Well, unfortunately, I did more than that. I pursued the matter in search of what we like to call the truth.
Go on.
I'll come visit you at your hotel tomorrow evening. We'll take up the thread of this story once
you
again.
You are a barbarian to withhold from a scientist any knowledge that would permit him to better fathom man's soul, which, after all, is a legitimate object of experiment and observation. But I submit. Until tomorrow.
Until tomorrow. Times I considered having a note delivered to Bianchon's room expressing my regret that I'd be unable to visit him at his hotel that evening. I even wrote it out 5 or 6 times, but I had no note sent. If you ask me why, I will tell you that, alas, in the final analysis, I too believe that man's soul is an appropriate object of scientific contemplation. I was shown to Bianchon's room at 10 o'clock the following evening.
Ah, my friend, it's you. You seem so hesitant, I thought you might not turn up. Now, let's get on with it.
All right. Let me think. My next source of information was the humble, the landlady of this hotel. One evening, I was sitting on the first landing, waiting for a client, I believe, and Madame Lepas kept hovering about.
never quite approaching me, never quite leaving my sight.
Madame Lepar.
Yes, monsieur?
Can I help you in some way?
No. I'm feeling restless today. Don't pay any attention to me.
Are you certain?
Let me ask you this. You handle wills, don't you?
Of course. I'm a lawyer.
That's what I wanted to know. Now I'll leave you alone.
Come back here.
One more thing, then. You're the executor of Madame de Merret's will, aren't you?
You know something about that affair, don't you?
Oh, on my honor as an honest woman, then as truly as my name is Lepar.
Don't swear. Your eyes are laden with a secret.
Well, I can tell you something. In return, you must give me your advice about a matter I've kept to myself.
Of course. Now, what is it you know?
Well, when the Emperor sent prisoners of war here, I had to put up, at government expense, a young Spanish grandee on parole. Oh, he was a handsome young man, so well built. He had little hands that he took great care of, like a woman.
Those details don't interest me.
He went to mass and to all the services regularly. Where did he sit in church? 2 steps from Madame la Comtesse's chapel. In the evening, he used to go for walks in the hills. He said it reminded him of his own country. He stayed out so late that finally we simply gave him a front door key. One morning, he wasn't in his room. He never came back. Rummaging in his table drawer, I found 50 Spanish gold pieces worth about 5,000 francs and 10,000 francs worth of diamonds in a little sealed box. A letter I found with the gold pieces said that in case he didn't return, he left us the money and diamonds if we would only pray for the salvation of his soul. Another odd thing. The Spaniard's clothes were found under a large stone on the riverbank almost opposite La Grande Bretèche. There. I finished, monsieur.
You may go back to work, then.
But, monsieur, you're part of the bargain.
Oh, yes. What do you want my opinion about?
Should I feel guilty about the Spaniard's 15,000 francs? More importantly, do they really belong to me, or are they the Emperor's?
They're yours.
Thank you.
But don't you know anything more?
Oh, no. As truly as my name is Lepar.
All right. Leave me alone now.
God, this is becoming gruesome. I assume the Comtesse and the Spaniard and the Comte all suffered from the same catastrophe, as you call it.
Yes.
So that has killed 3 people one way or another.
4, I'm afraid.
4?
Yeah. The 4th completely innocent of any crime.
Who was that?
No one who would concern you.
No. All right. But go on with your tale anyway, and be as difficult as you like. I don't care, as long as you finish within the next few hours.
Rosalie! The Countess's maid, who provided me with the missing pieces of the puzzle.
And this Rosalie, by the way, was she a beauty?
Oh, yes. A beauty. Skin like milk. Eyes like jewels.
I think you were in love with her.
I was, Bianchon.
And is she still here?
She's no longer in Vendôme.
Pity. Did you seduce her, incidentally, in order to extract the story?
Certainly not.
Please, forgive me. Go on, continue.
Very well. Because I promised to do so, I'll reconstruct for you Rosalie's version of the events of La Grande Bretèche. One evening, the Comte returned 2 hours later than usual from his club. Instead of retiring to his own room, he took it into his head to go to Madame de Merret's room. Perhaps in search of consolation for his losses at the billiard table. Adjoining his wife's bedroom was a large closet, some 4 feet deep. As he turned the key of his wife's door...
Madame! What was that?
Oh, what a pleasant surprise!
Yes, well, I wanted to check on you. Your health...
I'm much improved. You were home very late.
Is that a complaint?
No, no.
I presumed I was capable of leaving and returning my estate when I pleased.
Of course.
If you require an explanation, we were discussing Napoleon and the English manufacturing system and something else, anyway. It became quite heated. There are Jacobins in Vendôme. Outright Jacobins.
I thought you'd come home and gone to bed hours ago.
I lost 40 francs at billiards. It wasn't my fault. Ragon cheats like a Turk.
Oh, it's disgraceful.
I would like to be alone with you. Would you tell Rosalie to go to her room?
Rosalie?
Well, I assume it was she I heard moving about in there.
Come in.
Rosalie.
Shall I undress you, madam?
Yes, go ahead.
My God. And who is in the closet?
Have you had some bad news, monsieur?
You seem perturbed.
Madame, you're trembling. Would you like me to get you something?
No, it's nothing.
But, madame, you don't look well at all. Your forehead is wet.
I tell you, I'm all right.
Monsieur, are you still worried about your losses at billiards?
40 francs is nothing.
No! Monsieur!
It was just an accident. I'll arrange...
I feel dizzy.
Shall I fetch the doctor?
Oh, be quiet, girl. You may go. I'll do my hair myself.
All right, madame.
Madame, there is someone in your closet.
No, monsieur.
No? Well, I'll look for myself.
If you open that door and find no one there, you must understand that everything will be over between us.
All right, Josephine. I won't open it.
I'm glad.
On one condition.
Yes?
I know how pure your soul is. You never fail to remind me. And I know that you lead a saintly life. You would not want to commit a mortal sin at any cost. Hmm?
That's true, monsieur.
So, here's your crucifix. Swear to me, before God, that there's no one there.
Then give me the crucifix, I swear.
Louder. I swear before God that there is no one in that closet. Now, before you speak, think carefully. If anyone should be in there, I should certainly run him through with my blade. If you lie on the crucifix, however, you are damned forever.
I swear before God that there is no one in that closet.
Good. This crucifix is interesting. Ebony and silver. This is a beautiful object I'm not familiar with.
I found it at Duvivier's, the jeweler's. When that group of prisoners passed through Vendôme last year, he bought it from a Spanish priest.
Ah. Rosalie!
Yes, monsieur?
Let me speak to you in the corridor for a moment. I know that the mason, what's his name, Goronflo, wants to marry you. Only poverty stands in the way.
We would like to marry at some point.
Shut your mouth and listen to me. Go and find him and tell him to come here tonight with his trowel and tools.
Tonight, monsieur?
Tonight. Do it in such a way that you don't wake up anyone in the house but him. His fortune will be greater than you could have ever dreamed of. Above all, don't gossip when you leave here, or else...
I understand.
Go. Wait.
Yes?
Take my pass key. Now, hurry. Get to bed, all of you, or you can pack up and leave in the morning.
The Comte returned to the Comtesse as if nothing had happened, and they conversed pleasantly for an hour.
I'm certain Ragon moved the ball while I went to see about the brandy. Oh. Naturally, I couldn't prove a thing.
Oh. And what did the others say?
Oh, they stood up for him like the swine they are. I'm sure some of them would like to see the terror return.
Oh, don't say such things.
Well, it's true.
I'm so tired.
Just a few more minutes, my dear. I get so few opportunities to enjoy your company. Ah.
Yes?
Monsieur Goronflo is here.
Goronflo?
Tell him to come in.
Monsieur le Comte. You see, I brought my trowels and everything.
Goronflo, go and get some bricks from under the coach house and bring enough to wall up that closet door.
What?
Use the plaster that was left over from the reception room ceiling and plaster the wall.
No, I can't.
Surely, you agree, the room does need renovating.
Yes, of course, but it won't match the paint on the ceiling.
Hmm?
Well, why not wait until the entire room can be done? Anyway, Gorenflot did such a poor job in this small salon.
Oh, my
darling. I've quite made up my mind. Come over here, Gorenflot. Listen to me. You will sleep here tonight. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow morning, you'll have a passport to go abroad to a town that I shall name. I'll give you 6,000 francs for your journey. You will stay at least 10 years in that town. You will go via Paris, where you will wait for me. There, I will guarantee you by contract another 6,000 francs to be paid on your return if you have fulfilled the conditions of our bargain. Mm-hmm. Now, the first condition is absolute silence about what you have done here tonight. As for you, Rosalie, I shall give you 10,000 francs to be paid on your wedding day if you marry Gorenflot. In order to marry, you must say nothing.
Rosalie, come and do my hair.
Yes, madame.
Get to work, man. This has to be done before dawn.
Oh, careful, Rosalie. That's my hair, not a hawthorn hedge.
Madame,
an income of 1,000 francs a year for you if you can tell Gorenflot to leave a crack at the bottom. Another 1,000 if he can break one of the glass panes in the door.
Did you say something?
Go and help him, my dear. It's a whim of my husband's.
Yes, madame.
Come on, man. Let the slut hand you the bricks. You look as if you'd never built a wall before.
Oh, I'm sorry, monsieur, but I was sound asleep when Rosalie arrived. I haven't woken up properly. And I'm clumsy by nature.
Oh, all right, all right. What are you all doing here? I told you to get to bed. Daniel.
Now, Gorenflot. Don't lose hope. We'll save you.
Gorenflot, what in God's name are you doing? Finish the wall. Get on with it. There's still the plastering to do. Madame, you really must move away from that wall. You'll interfere with Gorenflot and only get dust all over your clothes. Rosalie, help your mistress get into bed.
Monsieur, the wall is finished. And the plaster.
What? All right, very good. Now remember my instructions. Here's the money.
It's very generous.
Now get out. Absolute silence, remember. You can't even mention this business to your mother. Do you understand, you cretin?
Yes, Monsieur le Comte.
Oh, what a nuisance. I must go to the town hall for a passport. It can't be helped. I shall be back in an hour or two, my dear.
Oh, yes, of course. I'll go back to sleep for a bit. Rosalie?
Yes, madame?
The pick. Set to work. I saw last night how Gorenflot set about it. We'll have time to make a hole and fill it up again. No, no. Give it to me.
Be careful, madame. Here, let me do it. I'm more used to this kind of thing.
No. No, get away. My tenant. My sin. My sin. My sin.
Madam! What are you doing? Do you not think the wall properly constructed? Put Madame on her bed. She has fainted.
Oh, monsieur, why are you torturing her?
What did you say?
Nothing, monsieur.
No, I'm certain you addressed yourself to something you thought had transpired here.
No, monsieur, I saw nothing and heard nothing.
Are you certain, my
yes,
dear?
Yes, monsieur.
Do you know why it is that you saw and heard nothing? It's because you're a bit of dirt without eyes or ears. Am I right?
Yes, monsieur.
What are you?
I'm a bit of dirt without eyes or ears. A carriage, monsieur.
Hmm? Very well, my dear. Go and see if it's Duvivier, the jeweler. I sent for him.
Oh, my head.
Oh, what's wrong, my dear? It's so painful for me when you're not yourself.
Get away from me. Get away from me.
Oh, I can tell you're not at all well. As for this other business, put it out of your mind. I love you and trust you. And our future happiness is secure because of that.
So cruel. So cruel.
I'm sorry. I don't understand.
Monsieur Duvivier.
Duvivier, how are you?
A little confused, Monsieur le Comte. What do you require of my humble services this morning? I brought nothing with me. If you want me to...
Listen to me, I don't want any of those chips of glass that you pass off as diamonds.
Monsieur le Comte.
I have a question. Did you buy some crucifixes from a group of Spaniards who passed through the town?
Spanish junk? Well, not likely, no, monsieur. Absolutely not. And if anyone claims I did, he's a liar before God and man.
Good. Thank you. You may go.
Is there anything else?
Yes, there is, Rosalie, my dear girl. Please arrange to have my meals served in Madame la Comtesse's room from now on. She is ill, and I won't leave her side till she is better.
The cruel nobleman stayed by his wife's side for 20 days. The soul of solicitousness. At first, there were sounds from within the walled-up closet.
Oh, monsieur.
What?
You must...
Hmm? Oh, you're not making yourself clear. How is your health, my dear? I'm insisting that the doctor visit again before next Tuesday. Once a week is not enough. Have you finished your dinner?
No.
Oh, you haven't touched a thing. I think you've lost weight recently. You must eat something. Now, how would you like a nice broth? I can send Rosalie for some.
No. Oh, your heart must respond.
Respond to what, my dear? I don't understand.
Oh, mercy, monsieur, mercy.
I don't follow you. Mercy? Oh, I'll have the doctor here first thing in the morning. You're having some kind of an attack.
It's horrible.
Oh, those mice. What else could it be? I'm sure it's mice. You swore on the crucifix that there was no one there.
Yes. Monster.
You mentioned a fourth person killed by that house. Just tell me what you meant.
No.
You can't hold out on me, I know. I must know what you know, every detail, or it's worse than knowing nothing. You know I'm right.
The fourth victim was Rosalie herself.
Oh, my God.
Yes. She returned here after Gonflo died in an accident in that town abroad. Rosalie, whom I hounded day and night until she broke down and told me everything. Rosalie, who shortly after recounting to me the secrets of La Grande Bretèche, threw herself into the Loire and drowned.
Was it because?
Under my interrogation. I assure you, I've asked myself that more than once. I know the answer. I can't bear to hear it. Even inside my own head.
I'm sorry to be so cold-blooded, but in the search for truth, there are always innocent victims.
Len, go back to Paris full of confidence. Dear laboratory, your anatomy classes, your search for the objective truth. You see what the truth has done for me. Left me tormented and melancholy. Lost me the only woman whom I truly loved.
I don't know what to say to you. Terrible thing about seeking the truth is that you find it. Goodbye, Vigno.
Goodbye.
The Cruel Husband was especially adapted for Nightfall by David Lester from the Balzac story. It featured David Calderisi and Barbara Gordon, with Patrick Young, David McElrafe, Rosemary Dunsmore, Maya Ardol, Angelo Ritsakos, and Graham Batchelor. The sound engineer was John McCarthy.